your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel. Miss Lindsay, you ready? You ready and raring to go?
Yes,
all right. 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know the story. And I say this, there's so much, you know, in a text like this, you could just say so much. But I'm going to try to stick to the message that God's laid on our heart. And of course, let's go to verse number, I don't know, let's go to verse 51. Let's go to the end of the story, then we'll go backward a little bit. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword, the Philistine's sword that is, and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. He was dead and they fled. Amen. Father, we love you. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'd have mercy upon me. Illuminate my heart, mind, and mouth tonight. Touch hearts here. And Lord, give us that which we need. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. An old title I want to use tonight, and it's not original. But yet, I want to preach on this thought, how to get ahead in life. Amen. How to get ahead in life. Now, again, we know the story. We know what's going on. And this verse, actually, I could preach a message on verse 51 and how David ran and stood upon the Philistine, the urgency of crucifying the flesh. The Philistine's the type of the world, type of the flesh. And David wanted to make sure that it was crucified. It was put away. And folks, we need to have that same urgency in our life to crucify ourselves daily. Paul said, I die daily. In other words, what he was saying was, I get up every morning, jump in a grave. Not physically, of course, but yet to himself. So there's a picture there. David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him. In other words, he didn't give him another chance and cut off his head. You know what that means? That's a sign of no possibility of coming back. And so, he had to be dealt with. And he had to be dealt with very, very dramatically. Wasn't no tiptoeing through the tulips to deal with it. He showed urgency. He showed exactly what needed to be done. There's a picture there. And, of course, when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. There's a story there. Here's one. You take out the big one, the little ones will leave. Think about that. You do away with the big ones, the little. I'm not categorizing sin. But yet, these monsters in our life, folks, these little things that hang around them, if you kill that big monster, the rest of them will go. I'm talking about in our own life. Now, I want to notice this. Of course, we know the story. We know how David, he didn't go to battle, but his brothers did. Went with Saul to fight the Philistines. Of course, David's daddy sent him with food, and he said, I want you to check things out. Let me know how they're going. Well, that happened. And so we see here that David, we know God had a plan for David. When God rejected Saul because of his sin, the Lord, the man of God, Samuel, went to Jesse. And of course, we know God had picked David, just a shepherd boy. Of course, most, or not any, knew how God had already been training him out in the wild. He raised him up as a king of war. He'd already slew lions and bears and already protected the sheep. And of course, David's not the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus is, but he was a good shepherd. God gave him on-the-job training. And he didn't have to be in the limelight. Folks, if you'll humble yourself, God said, I'll exalt you. David did that. He humbled himself and the Lord exalted him. And so God picked him. He went with the oldest alive and went all the way down. And the man of God said, no, these are not the ones. God hadn't picked them. Even though they may look like good candidates, God looketh on the heart. And God knew their heart. Of course, God reveals their heart in this battle with Goliath. They wasn't going to fight. When it got hot, they was going to hide. I don't know if I'm just delusional tonight, but I'm doing a lot of rhyming. Y'all just pray I'm going to rap it. Don't go to spitting and all that they do. That just may have been the 80s rhymers. I don't know. But anyway, they showed that God knows when he pays, you say, I don't know why God's picked me for this. God knows why. Just like Mary told those boys, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Hey, whatever God tells you to do, just do it. One thing about it, God will never contradict his word. He's not going to send you out to a place he's not already prepared. He's going to take care of you through it. He's just good that way. He's faithful that way. So we know that David, even though his brothers was against him and later Saul was against him, he wasn't against him in the text. He wasn't against him at all until they came from battle and the ladies was dancing around and singing, here comes Saul with his thousands and David with his 10,000, and that spirit of jealousy come in his heart. But with everything and everybody against him, all the lies told on him, running for his life, God kept a hedge around him. And not only that, God kept him humble. I mean, how many times could he have killed Saul, but he said, I'm not touching God's anointed. You know, just like that old boy came up and said he had killed, and he was lying on top of that. Had killed Saul. David said, hey, boys, y'all get off your horses and kill him. You know, hey, I don't care what he's done. You don't touch God's anointed. And so God had a hedge around him. He stayed humble, and God used his life. So I want to use this account that everybody mostly knows about David and Goliath and paint a picture and show you some things of how David not only got a real head, but he got a head in life. He got a head in the situation. See, we live in a society, and it rubs off on us, that we think that we're owed. David never ceased to call himself the servant of God. Amen. David went in and out among the people, never thought he was better than them. Saul did, though. David behaved himself right, just like Joseph did. God exalted. He got ahead doing certain things. I want to notice, look at verse 25 through 30 with me, first of all, tonight. How to get ahead in life scripturally. Now, David did this, number one, by having right motives. I want you to know, and again, I'm not preaching anything new tonight, and I know you already know these things, but yeah, they may help us tonight. In verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now David's done come up. And David spake to the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this matter, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And I know thy pride and thy narrowness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now, I want to notice David's motive compared to the other motives. Folks, you remember, the only thing on their mind was how it's going to help me. What's it going to give to me? What am I going to get for stepping out on the battlefield with Goliath? The king said he's going to get, even Saul should have been more spiritual. Even Saul should have been the one who says, hey man, is there not a cause? He's the finding God of heaven. Let's go get him. But instead of that, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to stay behind this rock and hide. And I'm going to make y'all rich men and give you my daughter. I can't make anybody rich and you sure ain't getting my daughter. But he said, in other words, their motive, Saul being a picture of the flesh by now, their motive was, how's this going to help me? What am I going to get out of this? They had wrong motives. And with their wrong motives, if they'd have stepped out of there with Goliath, he would have tore them asunder. If their motive would have just been, how's it going to help me? Not, what about the cause of Christ? What about the people of God? What about us getting paid? It wasn't nothing spiritual about it. How am I going to get help? How am I going to get rich in this? And there was even too cowardly to do that. But David showed his motive. It was a right motive when he says, hey, fellas, is there not a cause? We got a cause, and the cause ain't getting rich. And the cause isn't got marrying the king's daughter. And the cause isn't us becoming free, not ever having to pay a tax again. The cause is he's defying God. He's cussing our God. He's against our God. That's the cause. And folks, that's the cause for us today. Our motive should always be spiritual. How's it going to affect the cause of Christ? If I do this, if I go there, if I'm involved in that, hey, how's it going to affect the cause of Christ? Amen. But no, how's it going to affect me? What am I getting out of it? We've seen a lot of selflessness in the last few weeks of people. And folks, I don't claim to say I know all the reasons that God allowed these storms to come, because that would be an ignorant statement. But I believe I've seen clearly one, and that's brought unity. It's brought a cause. And nobody ain't thinking about me. Folks, folks, can you imagine how that makes God sick to look down on you, on even on his people, and see the selfishness? That folks, you don't think you're selfish? I didn't think I was selfish either until my lights went off for 3 days. Until I couldn't use my phone. I'm sitting there on my phone and ain't got nothing on it. I mean, it's how pathetic we was. Got a bar! Finally told my wife, I said, it don't do me any good to have a bar. One bar, it might as well be dead. Yeah, I found out how selfish, I found out what my cause was. But God, hey, I don't claim to know it all, but I know one thing. Can you imagine in our day-to-day life, that the shame that God, and again, I'm not trying to be God. I'm not trying, like, I know God and what he's doing as far as that goes. But ain't it a shame that God goes, look, I'm going to have to disarray this area just to get some folks back on track. Just to get some folks with their mind. Our head is all in the politics stuff and the election coming up. And I'm not saying we should just nonchalantly not think about it. We ought to be concerned about it, but not to the place to realize that God is still in control. Said at the nursing home this morning, God's sovereign. In other words, he's in charge. Nothing happens unless he allows it to happen. He's in charge. He's God. You don't tell him what to do. He don't need our permission. And he's still whole and he's still right and he still does everything well. And how in the world can we read 2 Timothy 3 and the last days perilous times are coming? All that, how can we live that what we see if everything stays wonderful? It's not going to. But what is our motive through it? The enemy was calling Israel out. The enemy was calling them out and cussing their God and defying the God of heaven, and all they was worried about, I wonder how I could whip him and get that money. Oh man, you know what? And see, them boys ain't got the daydreaming. They got the daydream. I believe it was hiding behind rocks, and all of a sudden their mind went, you know what? If I believe I might could sneak up behind him and put my sword through his neck. Can y'all imagine how beautiful my wedding's going to be with the king's daughter? You imagine how rich I'm going to be? They done had their eye on a new Mustang. Four-legged one. Boy, it took y'all a minute, didn't it? I'm glad I said four-legged one. Some of y'all go thinking, here goes David down to the desert in a new Mustang. I thought I was the only one that had a rough day. Amen. He got the daydreaming. Hey, how's it going to prosper me? David wasn't that way. Is there not a cause for this? There's a cause to shut his mouth. There's a call to defeat these Philistines because they're defying the God of heaven. And if we allow them to take over, our children and our grandchildren are going to be raised in a wicked society. They're going to be raised and trained to hate God. We better stand up. Quit worrying about the money. Quit worrying about the women. Quit worrying about the prestige. Hey, there's a cause. They are defying God. And we got to make a stand. He got ahead in life because his motives was right. He had right motives. Notice next. I'm hurrying. Not only did he have right motives, let's go to verse 31. Maybe chapter 31, verse 38. We see a rejoiceful memories. Rejoiceful memories. Over here, let me make sure I'm doing that right. No, verse 31 of chapter 17. I'm sorry, I had that wrote like 31, 38. Just keeping y'all on your toes. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Automatically, the flesh, Saul's a picture of the flesh already, the flesh already said, you can't do it. You're not worthy to do it. You're not trained to do it. You can't do it. Well, aren't you glad David didn't take that? David said unto Saul, thy servant, there he goes, man, what humility, kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. You know what David was doing? Say, let me give you some precious memories. God has brought me through battles like this before. You realize that the battles he had with the bear and the lion were the strongest in the jungle? Their strength no doubt matched or surpassed Goliath's. And David said, hey, I was, you know, what's a blessing too is that he didn't ever mention it till he needed to. There's a humility again. He didn't get up in a testimony meeting, give him a big Barney Five. Y'all should have seen me the other day. Biggest bear I ever seen come out on me. I'd have snatched him by his beard. And here come that lion. Grabbed him up too. Pew, pew, pew. Cut his head off. He didn't do that. But it was needful. Because I believe the Lord, the Spirit of God, reminded him, hey, you need to tell Saul this. Saul's all to pieces thinking you can't do it and you're going to make a mockery of him because he don't have the guts to do what he's supposed to do and all your brothers is here, everybody's here, and God wants victory. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know what battle you're facing, how big he is, but think about when God brought you through another one. God brought you through another one. And I've heard this story, past blessings won't give present victory, but it can give you some assurance. David said, hey, he told the story about the bear and the lion. He said, and this uncircumcised Philistine won't be any different. David had never been trained to fight bears and lions. He didn't go to bear fighting school or lion fighting school. He stood firm and God touched him. God worked through him. Folks, the battles we face in our day, we've never seen them before. Things come in our life, we've never faced it. We've heard about it. But we can look back where God brought us from a different thing that was just as strong and another thing that come our way. And we can have sweet assurance in our memories that he's still able to do what he did for us a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. He's still on the throne and he's still able. He can still do it. There's a cause. Right motives will get you ahead in life. Rejoiceful memories. And look at verse 39 and 40. It's reasonable merit. Verse 39 and verse number 40. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved him. Essayed means he stopped. He was hindered to go. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in his scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I see a picture here. David put on the armor of Saul. You know what he said? He said, This is outside of my gift. He said, I've not been gifted to use this. You know what would happen? If he'd have worked outside of his gift, he'd have got killed that day. You know what he could have said? You know what? Well, it's worked for Saul. Saul's been in all, he had been in a lot of battles. It worked for him. Folks, the worst thing you do is work outside of what God's gifted you to do. David said, I ain't proved these things. I've never been in battle with these things. And he said, I'm not carrying them out there. Now, I'm sure later on, as David was a king of battle, he learned to use them. But at the moment, they wasn't what he could use. Folks, quit trying to fight battles with things you know nothing about and use what God's give you. He's give you a Bible. He's give you access to the throne. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. You can use those things. Right. Folks, we live in a time now where we're trying everything to fight battles and be good Christians, but what God's given us to use. I mean, we go to all these things and we try all these motives and all these methods, folks, and they ain't going to work. Saul's armor on David wasn't going to work. But God had equipped him with something that would work. But only when God's hand was on it. Reasonable merit. Folks, God's give you gifts to use. He's give you things to fight with. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. Quit trying to use man-made methods to fight battles. Are you listening? Quit trying to use man-made methods to fight battles. Folks, most of our battles are going to be won on our knees. I've been down this road. Some of you may have, but I've lost enough spiritual battles trying to fight them myself. It's time to learn, hey, just pray. Amen. Just like when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, I preached this last night. When the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, the Lord, hey, there was a time to shout. Remember when they marched around Jericho the last time, seven times? He said, when you get to that seventh time, shout. But there when they got to the Red Sea, he said, hold your peace. He said, hold your peace. You don't have to explain it. You ain't got to figure it out. You ain't got to grumble about it. Just hold your peace. He said, I'll fight for you. You ain't got to say anything. All they had to do in that instant was obey God. What was that? Move forward. Move forward. That's all I had to do was move forward. Take that step. Folk, David honoring God when he faced Goliath and he had confidence. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. He had all this faith and confidence in the Lord because he told him, he said, I'm not going to do it. God's going to do it through me. He had all that confidence. That giant didn't have a chance then. And David didn't let him intimidate him. He didn't let him scare him. Why? Because he came in the name of the Lord. And he knew God was bigger. He took five food stones. Five is the number of the grace of God. God used one of them. You know what? He went to battle with five and came back with four. God gave him more than enough to win the battle.
Right, amen.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 41 through 47. We see a righteous motivation. Verse 41, the Bible says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked upon about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Thou camest to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Listen to that. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest with me with a sword. Listen now, and with a spear, with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord, listen to who he's giving glory to, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Righteous motivation. What was it? Confidence in God. Can you imagine? Here stood a man 9.5 feet tall. Been a warrior from his youth. No telling how many people he had killed. No telling how much fear came on the hearts of man when he approached. Kind of like the devil. He's destroyed a lot of lives. He brings fear to a lot of people. And us within ourselves cannot whip him. But our confidence can never be in ourselves. It's got to be in Him. Where's your confidence at tonight? Where's your confidence? Notice this last thought. We see real might. Verse 48. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Let me tell you how God did it. He used David to defeat Goliath in a way that only God got the glory.
Right.
David had working faith. He could have stood over there with his brother behind the rock and said, God's able to get. He could have said, hey, giant behind the rock, doing nothing. God's able to deliver you in our hands. I know God can whip you. But he could have said that all day long. But if he hadn't went out there and faced him, he never would have killed him. Faith without works is dead, being alone. It's wonderful to tell how we know God is able. But folks, faith without works is dead. He said, James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. David was showing us his faith by his works. The book of James don't teach a salvation by works, but a salvation that will work. Amen. We'll move. We'll step. We'll go forward. We'll stand before a giant and say, God can do it, and let God use you to do it with. David got ahead in life because his motives was right. He had rejoiceful memories of how God had delivered him out of the strong hand before. His reasonable merit, he used what God had given him to use. His righteous motivation, that confidence that God could do anything, that God was bigger than anything, any person that stood in front of him. And real might, faith. Faith in God. I said this 100 times. I think I might have said it last night. Faith is just a word if you don't have an object. David's faith, the object was God. Now, David didn't give us a description of the day of the bear and the day of the lion, but can you imagine the slaughter? Can you imagine the slaughter? Now, again, I'm not trying to act like animals have this part of thinking, especially sheep, but David was their protectors, and they snatched a lamb. Don't you think that little lamb, if he could talk, if he had the mind to say, I sure appreciate somebody that believes God's able and he'll put something behind it. It rescued my life. It rescued my life. Folks, we got little ones coming behind us, little lambs coming behind us. They need to see us standing in the gap. They need to see us making up. They need to see us standing and fight. Because if, you know what? If they don't see us fight, they're surely not going to. They need to see us. They need to see mamas and daddies, grandpas, grandmas. They need to see older saints. They need to see us being faithful, being fruitful, being holy and spiritual and putting God first. Hey, if they don't see us living right and doing right and fighting the good fight of faith, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to say, there's no hope for me. And the Philistines are going to get them. The Philistines are going to get them. They're going to devour them. Where's the church going to be? David had people that was criticizing him. But he didn't let that deter him. He had people that scoffed him, and even the king doubted him. But his faith was in God. Folks, you'll never fight the good fight of faith without somebody trying to discourage you, defeat you, put you down, tell lies on you, talk behind your back. Hey, that's no reason to stop. That's a reason to keep moving. But you eventually move past that crowd. They're not going to grow any more than they are. How to get ahead in life. Let's all stand. Ms. Courtney's coming. Thank you for your patience tonight. Heads are